I want you to go to Psalm 27. That's where we're going to start. I'm going to preface this teaching with, you know, we teach different things. We teach different topics, different subjects. Like we teach about believing. We teach about renewed mind. We teach things. But you have to remember that they're all interconnected. They're all interdependent, right? Not one, they, one thing doesn't stand by itself. They all have to do with each other in some way or another. You know, renewed mind is all about renewing your mind to believe God, really, right? And the importance of rightly dividing the word is that we believe the right thing. So these things are all connected one way or the other. In chapter 27, or Psalm 27, not a chapter, it's a psalm. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So here it says that the Lord, Jehovah, is the strength of my life. There are a number of ways that we can be strong. We can be strong physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, emotionally. It's all different areas of strength. You know, they can appear in different categories of strength. And, you know, it's in the body and endurance, the lower body, the upper body, the core, the brain, the mind, whatever. But the word for strength can also mean stronghold. You know what a stronghold is? Like a fortress or a tower. And it can also be translated fortress, that same word in Hebrew. A stronghold is a fortified place for defense, a refuge. Let's go to Psalm 28. So it says here that the Lord is my strength. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my stronghold. Why would they build strongholds? Well, if you got attacked, you got into the stronghold and you stayed there and the enemy couldn't get to you. The city of Babylon was a stronghold. It was by itself. The whole city was gigantic, but it was self-contained. So it was a stronghold. They could go within that city, within the walls. The walls were 300 feet high, 80 feet wide. The river, I think it was the Euphrates, ran through the middle, so they had water, and they had places where they could grow food, and it was basically impenetrable. So, except when it got overthrown, because somebody on the inside was a traitor. But that's the only reason. So a fortress can be a place where you retreat to when you're being attacked. And it's a safe place. And it says that God is our strength. He's our stronghold. He's our fortress. In verse 7 of 28, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." What's a shield? For protection, right? It's for defense. "My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed." Today, you know, that his anointed would be men of God, and, you know, certainly Jesus Christ, the Christ is the anointed. But it says that we're anointed, aren't we?
Yep.
And today, in our time and place, we are anointed. So God is our strength. Also, very definitely our strength, our fortress. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 5. So, you know, when we think about God, we think about how we're to believe him, we're to trust him, right? Well, if we trust him, he becomes our strength, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. He takes care of us. He watches over us. We don't have to fear about anything. In chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength," past tense, right? Without strength. "In due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Before we were born again, we had no strength. We had no place to find refuge. We had no place to go. We were, what's that show they have on TV, Naked and Afraid? Yeah. We were naked and afraid before we got born again. Literally, spiritually, in every way possible. We were naked and afraid. The implication is we are no longer strangers, and we do have strength. You know, this is passive. When, beforehand, when we were yet sinners, when we were without strength, that implies that now we are born again, we do have strength, right? Mm-hmm. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 12. This is Paul speaking. And is this where we see about his persecutions and stuff? He got beat and all that stuff. You know, it's where we see the whole thing about... Anyway, his infirmities, and he desired God to help him. It says in verse 9, "And he," God, "said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me." Or rest upon me. You know, Paul was going through all this stuff. You know, he was having problems. He got beat. He was put in jail. He got shipwrecked. He was being persecuted. He was, you know, an outcast at times. And what did he say? You know, "My God is my sufficiency. Jesus Christ is my strength." God told him that it's made perfect in weakness. The more, you know, remember when Israel was wandering in the wilderness, right? And basically God said to him, "Well, I had you wander in the wilderness. You had nothing and you had to rely on me. You ran out of food, you ran out of water, and I supplied it for you," right? He was their strength. He, you know, we talk about God being our sufficiency. Well, isn't that part of, you know, God's strength in us, taking care of us, watching over us? He took care of Israel the whole time. I think about this war in Israel, and they're getting bombed and stuff, and I think, why did not Israel ever see that when they turned to God, he took care of them? They didn't really need an army. They had one, but they didn't really need one because they were defeat other people, just, you know, God would send an angel and it would just destroy them. But they never have come to that realization. And sometimes our country doesn't come to that realization either. It should. Verse 10 says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." You know, I recognize that I can't do it on my own. I recognize that I'm going to have to go through stuff. But you know what? God's going to take care of me. And so I boast about that. I'm glad about that. God's going to heal me. God's going to protect me. God's going to meet my needs. God's going to be my sufficiency, my strength. And you know what? We get confronted all the time in life, and we need to beat that into our brains. Need to repeat it over and over and over and over till it's just like breathing. Which, you know, I can really relate to. It has to be, you know, your very breath, that God is my sufficiency and my strength. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. I know you've heard all this before, but, you know, it's just something you need to hear over and over and over and over. We all do, because the world and the devil is trying to talk us out of it constantly. He never takes a vacation. It's amazing. You'd think after all these years he'd want to take a break. But he knows the end is coming, and he's trying to get all his licks in before he's done. Chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 13. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We all have heard this verse. I think it can be translated, I can do all things through Christ, which infuses me with inner strength. You know, that strength is on the inside, isn't it? We're strengthened in the inner man, in the spirit. And then the spirit strengthens our mind. It's through Christ. Through Christ we are strengthened. What a great thing. Let's go to Ephesians. Back a page or two. Chapter 6. You all know this one. It says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then it goes through the whole thing about putting on the whole armor of God. So to be strong in the Lord, we have to do something, don't we? You don't just, you know, you don't get strong physically by doing nothing, do you? You know, you have to do something to get stronger. Exercise, lift weights, do calisthenics, eat the right foods. If you ever watch these, I go to PT twice a week, work to get my back a little stronger. And they have this thing on called the CrossFit Games. I don't know why anybody would put themselves through this. But they do men and women, and they do these endurance races, and then like the other day, they had to carry these sandbags that weighed I don't know how much, and they had to go on a long way, you know, a couple hundred yards, and then they had to carry it up steps. And these guys are, you know, and the women, they're built, you know, it's what they live for, to do this stuff. And they're exhausted, and they have to stop and put the bag down and catch a breath and then do it and then pick it up again. And it's like crazy. But how did they get that way? Practice. They worked at it. They built it up. Well, to be strong in the Lord, what do we have to do? We have to do something, right? It says, put on the whole armor of God that may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods of the devil. So, it's what it tells us to do. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What's that? The word of God, right? You're putting that word constantly into your mind. You're constantly holding it there. You're reinforcing it. You're repeating it. You know, in Joshua chapter 1, God talks to Joshua and he says to meditate upon my word and you'll be very successful. Well, to meditate means to speak to yourself, to say the word to yourself. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness means you know who you are in Christ, right? You know who you are. You know that you're righteous before God. And your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Again, it's the word of God. And above all, taking the shield of faith, of believing, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, wholeness, deliverance, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, and so our defense really is all revolves around the word of God and putting it on and using it and speaking it to yourself. What a great thing to do. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Chapter 2. It says in chapter 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And, you know, that's a really great thing to understand. What's grace? It's undeserved love or favor. And we're to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, we didn't earn anything. We weren't so good that we got anything. God gave it to us because he loved us. And we sit with Christ in the heavenlies because of grace, right? And everything we get from God is by grace. You know, he just wants to give. He wants to bless. He wants to take care of. He wants to guard us. He wants to protect us. He wants us to be victorious in life. Mm-hmm. He wants it more for us than we want it for ourselves. Mm-hmm. He just does. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, be strong in grace. Something to dwell upon. Think about. Let's go back to Psalms 31. You know, if you read through the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know, we saw, you know, Paul, and we know Paul went through lots of stuff. Right, and he got whipped, right? Then he got beat. We saw what David went through. He was a refugee, he was being chased and hunted down like he was a criminal. Moses had to lead those people through the wilderness. That was exciting. All he did was moan and complain. Why'd you take us out of Israel? You just wanted to take us out of here so we would die. You know? Made no sense. And so on. You know, these guys had to go put up with stuff. But what was their refuge? What was their strength? It was God, right? They didn't work for a big corporation. They didn't have lawyers. They didn't have doctors. They didn't have anything. They just had God. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when you're stripped of everything and all, your only recourse is God. That's when you really see things happen, mm-hmm. You know? When I first got into Word, we would be put in situations where we had to depend on God. And that was interesting and exciting. Sometimes I think, you know, it's like training, you know, getting you ready, getting you toughened up. Anyway, Psalm 31, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Again, trust. Well, that's, you know, making God your strength, isn't it? When you put your trust in him. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. Well, what's a strong rock, you know, represent? You know, right. Something solid, right? Strong, impenetrable. And a house for defense is a fortress, isn't it? A stronghold. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Says it again, you know, to emphasize it. Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. You know, this is David talking, and there were people out there, and they were plotting against them and laying, traps for him to try to get him. And you know, he says to God, you're my strength. You got to get me out of this. Jesus Christ went through this whole time in his ministry, didn't he?
Yeah.
Every time he turned around, somebody was plotting to kill him. They plotted to kill him all the time. Remember, he went to Nazareth and they took him and they were going to throw him off a cliff. Well, who delivered him? God did. He walked away. He believed God and he walked through the crowd. How did he do that? I don't know. God was his strength. God delivered him. God protected him. And they couldn't kill him till he allowed them to kill him. That's what it says. You know, until he allowed them. Obviously, he didn't have an army, did he? You know, and the apostles, they were thinking, you know, he's going to raise an army and take over the world. And he never did, which kind of screwed them up until they got Holy Spirit and understood what he was talking about. Then it says in verse 5, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. God is the God of truth. And you know, we talk about the rightly divided word, but the rightly divided word is so important because if you don't know the rightly divided word, if you don't understand how the word works, then you get tricked. Then you get talked out of things. So it's really important to understand how the word works and how it is interpreted properly so that you have the truth. Because without it, you don't have the truth. Again, you know, in verse 4 it says, for thou art my strength. That word is the word for fortress or stronghold. A place where you have a refuge, where you're protected, where it's your defense and it takes care of you. And let's go to Psalm 18. That's a long one. It says in verse 1, oh, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And again, the word strength is fortress. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. It's saying a lot of things that mean similar stuff, right? Rock is, you know, solid. A fortress is a stronghold. God is the deliverer. He's my strength. Again, you know, my defense, my refuge, in whom I will trust. My buckler. A buckler is that point on the front of a shield that can be used defensively to ward off the enemy. And then it says, the horn of my salvation, the strength of my salvation. And my high tower. And again, a high tower is a fortress. You know, they would build these high towers and you could go take refuge in them. And the enemy couldn't get in. If you've ever been to Europe and you go to a castle, you know, they had the moat. And sometimes what they had was, I went to, a couple of castles in Scotland. But in Stirling especially, they have, it's built and you have to go up the hill to get to the castle, and then there's a wall, and then between the wall is the moat, and then there's another wall, and then within the castle there's a high tower. So, and then on the back side of the castle is a cliff. It's a sheer cliff. You know, so it was in 1,200 years that castle was never taken, never overrun, because it was impenetrable, basically. So God says here, or David says, he is my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. And who's our enemy? Well, the devil is our enemy, and whoever he can encourage to bother us. Like the IRS or something. I don't know. Just saying. God is our stronghold. He's our sufficiency. He's our strength. It's in him we trust. That's where our strength comes from. You know, we can't do it on our own. We need him. We need him all the time. And the way we get strong is by continuing to put that word in, to continue to believe his word in every situation, in every aspect of life. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you are our strength, that you do take care of us, that we do have a refuge, and that when the enemy attacks, we have a way to defeat him. We have a way to withstand the attacks and be victorious. We thank you, God, for just a great and beautiful day for all of us, a great, great week ahead that we can just bless and be blessed. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.